Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A great surprise today. We thought we're going to start shipping Muslim What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion September 11th. That's when the book was due in and ready to be shipped, but I just happened to have my first copy of Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, in my hand in the studio, and I'm very, very excited about that. We have thousands of them at the Christian Research Institute, and they're ready to be shipped to you. There are a number of ways to receive your copy of Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, for your gift to the ministry all this month. Be pleased to send you the hardcover book. It is an absolutely exquisite presentation. For your gift to CRI, you can also get the audiobook. Those will be going out as well. For a gift of $60 or more, both the audiobook and the hardcover book. And please be generous as you stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And for your gift of $100 or more, Muslim, the hard copy personalized, then another copy autographed. Boy, I'm going to be doing a lot of autographing and personalizing. And then the audiobook. All of these for those listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, for those who are constituents of the Christian Research Institute. This book is not going to hit the general marketplace until October 10th. So CRI is the only way to get it. 100% of all the proceeds go to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute so that we can continue our ministries around the world. The M in the acronym Muslim, I started talking about that in yesterday's broadcast. I want to continue that in my opening monologue today. Of course, we'll be taking your calls as you dial 888-ASK-HANK. You can call on any subject you want to call on, but certainly can call on this subject because it is the feature of what we're going to be talking about all this month. Yesterday, I mentioned Muhammad, his life and his legacy. It starts with the fact that every single Muslim, over 1.6 billion Muslims, they are Muslims because they have said the Shahada. In other words, they're saying that there's no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his apostle. And as I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, there are two Muhammads. And what I mean by that is not that there are two physical Muhammads, but that there's a Muhammad personified by his life in Mecca, and there's a Muhammad personified by his life in Medina. In one, he is, well, a prophet of Allah. But he doesn't do very well as a prophet. And when he migrates to Medina, he does not assimilate, he takes over. And as a result, you have the eradication or eviction of three Jewish tribes. And then later on, you have, in 627, 5 years before Muhammad dies, the year of the Jewish Holocaust. I talked about that on yesterday's show. But what I want to bring to your attention in terms of his life and legacy is women. So often in the West, we talk about Muhammad in reverential tones, that this is an apostle of peace and a religion of peace and tolerance. But it's hard to say that with a straight face if you know Muhammad's life and legacy respecting women. He married Aisha, his second wife, when she was only 6, and consummated the marriage when she was 9. Now, a lot of people will argue with that, but if they're arguing with that, they're not arguing with me, they're arguing with the most authoritative Muslim sources. And then there's the story of Zainab. This is the story of receiving an alleged divine dispensation to marry his cousin, the wife of his adopted son. Moreover, in Quran 4:3, Muhammad receives a revelation allowing men to marry women of your choice, 2 or 3 or 4. And in my book, I have a picture, as it were, of the marriage contract. Imagine you being one of the women, and you're number 2 on the list. This is my second wife. Or you're the first on the list, but there are 3 blanks to be filled in later at will. Just as a Muslim man can divorce his wife at will. But what's really interesting is not only the polygamy of Islam, by which they're growing at a rapid pace, but if you look at Quran 33:50, you get a sense of hyper-polygamy. Because there, the Prophet Muhammad receives a divine sanction to marry any believing woman who dedicates her soul to the Prophet if the Prophet wishes to wed her. Well, we move from multiplying wives to the idea of revelation, and that the last of Muhammad's revelations. So many people talk about the peaceful and tolerant verses in the Quran. Remember, those were written primarily in Mecca. The Surah of the Sword, however, the final revelation that Muhammad received, can never be abrogated. In fact, it is that which abrogates. In other words, this is something that is foremost in the thought of any authentic Muslim that understands the religion of Islam. And that surah says, fight and slay the pagans wherever you find them, and seize them, beleaguer them, lie in wait for them in every stratagem of war. And that mandate was what caused Islam to conquer vast swaths of land from the Atlantic all the way over to India. In 635, just 3 years after Muhammad died, Damascus fell to the invading Muslims. 2 years later, Antioch. You'll remember Antioch in the Bible. This is where the disciples of Jesus were first called Christians. So in 637, Antioch fell to the Muslim sword. And shortly thereafter, it was the unhappy task of Sopharinus, the patriarch of Jerusalem, to hand over the city to the conquering Umar, the second rightly guided caliph after Muhammad. So what you have here is Muhammad, who migrated to Medina but never assimilated. And after reaching critical mass, he slew the pagans, taking their houses and their lands. He later seized Mecca, made Mecca the centerpiece of his conquests, and he beleaguered the cities of Arabia. He took their women and their wealth as his private property. His every stratagem of war paved the way for what 14 centuries later would be the world's fastest growing religion. And I use that term advisedly. Perhaps it's politically correct to call it a religion, but really it's not a religion in the Western sanitized sense of the word. It's a socio-political economic system that rides on the rails of Sharia. Now, all of that to get to a final point, and this is the quintessential point. That is contrasting Christ and Muhammad. Contrast the mother of clarity. So on the one hand, you have Muhammad, who subjected the Arabian Peninsula to tyrannical terror. In the greatest of his conquests, he has a Jewish man beheaded, takes his wife as booty, has her beautified, and then forces on her his bed. He promises his men either earthly goods or an eternity in the graces of the Huris. And yet, 3 years after he had slaughtered the Jews of Kabar, he himself was dead in the arms of a woman he had married when she was but six. How different the life of Jesus Christ. He elevated females to ontological equality with men. He commanded devotees to love their enemies and pray for those who persecuted them. He instructed adherents to turn the other cheek, to be peacemakers rather than makers of war. And you recall that when a disciple struck a soldier with a sword, Jesus said, "Put your sword in its place." Because everyone who draws the sword is going to die by the sword. Jesus defended the downtrodden and condemned the self-righteous. And as I mentioned in response to, I think, our last caller on yesterday's show, Jesus set the ultimate moral example by dying so that others might live. The bottom line is this. The distance between Muhammad and the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," is that of an unbridgeable chasm. Now, some might think that what I'm saying is harsh. Sometimes the truth is harsh. Going through cancer treatment, the doctor gave me some harsh words. I remember when I first got my diagnosis, I was told that if I didn't do chemo, I had 6 months to live. Those are harsh words, but they were words that I needed to hear, because no matter how difficult it is to go through chemo, you're willing to do it because it prolongs your life, it prolongs your ministry, it prolongs your opportunity to serve the Lord. Harsh words, but necessary words. And now I'm at a place where there's a 80 to 90% chance that I'm going to go into complete remission. Now, still, there are some difficult days ahead. And I know that. But the doctor doesn't do me any favors by not telling me the truth. Because if I don't know the truth, I can't make proper decisions. And this is the way it is with Muhammad as well. We must know who Muhammad is before we swear that we are going to give our allegiance not only to Allah, but to Muhammad. So truth matters. And ultimately, life matters more. We have an opportunity by sharing the truth to transform lives. And I have seen this up close and personal. Someone that lived in my home for a year, a Muslim who came to faith in Christ and was radically transformed. And that story can be echoed over and over again across the landscape, but it is not by telling a lie, it's by telling the truth. Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion, available for you right now. We'll be right back.
For most Americans, pronouncements from our public officials that Islam is a religion of peace are impossible to reconcile with daily headlines and jarring photos of global Islamic jihadist atrocities. To help you understand the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and other life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Coen brothers are among the most critically acclaimed film directors of our time. Yet the meaning behind their movies is often veiled in mystery. This offers a clue about the Coens' worldview. The difficulty is part of the design. Other topics include changing attitudes toward the resurrection of Jesus. Is a pro-life hermeneutic possible? How to revive a dead church? The Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. all the debate over Islam and its growing presence in the world, one thing is often overlooked. Islam is not a religion in the sanitized Western sense. It is, in contrast, an all-encompassing socio-political legal matrix that has bred a worldview antagonistic to anything but itself. While there may be millions of peaceful and tolerant Muslims, many of them are neighbors, Islam itself is hardly peaceful and tolerant. Read Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And in Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, Robert Spencer wrote the foreword and an excerpt from the foreword on the back cover of the book. Long renowned as the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff directs his considerable analytical powers to this comprehensive, accurate, and immensely needed exposition of Islam, a study that world events are daily making more timely, important, and necessary for every Christian to undertake. Again, that by Robert Spencer. He's the author of New York Times bestsellers, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Islam and the Crusades, and The Truth About Muhammad. Probably knows more about this subject than perhaps anyone on the planet. I mean, there are many other experts. I think about Nabil Qureshi. I think about David Wood, Raymond Ibrahim, many people, but certainly he's an expert on the subject. And so I was delighted that he wrote the foreword to this book. Again, the idea behind this book is for you to be able to wrap your arms around a very, very big topic. We're not talking about something peripheral here. We're talking about the world's fastest growing religion, soon to become the world's largest religion. And remember, we have been given a great commission to go out into all the world to make disciples of all nations. Now, we cannot do so by sword. It must always be done by word. And that word ultimately is rooted in resurrection. What caused the early church to flourish in a far more hostile context than we find in the West today? It was the word resurrection. So Christians saw the resurrected Christ, and they were willing to face, and this is not just a platitude, that tyrants brandish steel. If you think about that for a moment, you recognize that as Christians are being slaughtered in the Middle East today, and that as we speak, Christians were slaughtered in the first century as well. And they went to their deaths willingly. So it was the blood of the martyrs that became the seed of the church. And the bottom line from the perspective of Christianity is, you cannot kill me. In other words, a Christian understands that there is no such thing as a dead saint. You're either in the body or absent the body, present with the Lord, which Paul says is much better still. And yet that's only half the story, because there comes a time when Jesus appears, and then we're translated into the ultimate state where our bodies are resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and we're changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And that is something to look forward to as well. In other words, the alternative to this life is fantastic. Not because you're going to be in the graces of the Houris. It is because you're going to be in the graces of the one who stamped you with the imago Dei, the image and likeness of God Himself. And so what is yet to come transcends anything. I was reading the story of a young boy wearing a cross in the Middle East recently, asked to deny Christ, who instead faced death. Not only faced it, but experienced death. But yet he lives in the presence of God. Well, I'm excited about this book. I hope it makes a difference. Tomorrow I'm doing an interview with the Associated Press. I'm glad that I'll have this book, actually hard copy, in my hand at that time. For those who join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, for those who join CRI's monthly support team, standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And I'll be talking about this later on in the month, but there's a symbol that I wear. I was wearing it when I was preaching in or answering questions in Northern California a week or so ago. And I wear it virtually every single Lord's Day, at least, but many more times as well. And that symbol is known as a noon. It's the 14th letter of the Arabic alphabet. And that letter is used by those forces in the Middle East hostile to Christians as a term of derision. I wear it as a stance of solidarity. In other words, I want to take what is now all too often not communicated in the West and communicate that broadly. Our brothers and sisters in the Middle East are being crucified, beheaded. Some have their fingertips cut off, because once you do that, you render the hand immobile in the sense of warfare. You cannot defend yourself anymore. And the plight of our brothers and sisters ought to be known in the West. And when I criticize about this not being known in the West, I'm not simply criticizing the secular media, which is popular to do. It's not even being discussed, by and large, in the churches. But this is something that we need to talk about. Again, Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion, personalized to those who join CRI's monthly support team. Excuse me. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Adam in Louisville, Kentucky, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Hank. Appreciate everything you do.
Didn't mean to cough right there in your face electronically. Oh. Sorry.
No worries. Hey, I was wondering, is this book offered in an audio version? And where could I go to find that if so?
Yeah, the book is offered in audio version. I don't know exactly when we're going to have it at the Christian Research Institute, but it should be shortly, and I'll be announcing that on the broadcast. But certainly the audio book will be available to the general public October 10th, same release date as the book itself to the general public. But the book is now ready to be shipped, and the audio book, as soon as it comes in, I'll be very, very excited. It's an exquisite rendering of the book. I mean, the people that did this particular audio book really know what they're doing. I used to read my own audio books, and I got fairly good at it, but I can't match what they're able to do. And so I didn't do my own audiobook this time. I would have liked to, but I just can't match the talent of the professionals, so I didn't even try. But that audiobook will be out very, very soon.
Great. I look forward to it. And actually, while I have you on here, can I ask another question? It might be off topic.
Any topic is fine.
Okay. I'm a member of Church of Christ, and I was speaking to one of the fellow members, and I listen to a lot of sermons online or on XM radio as well, like Chip Ingram and things like that. And I was under the impression that we still, as Christians today, have spiritual gifts, at least one or more. And he was saying that the spiritual gifts were only given to the apostles, like in the first century. Is that true? Or, he was trying to quote me on a few Bible verses, and I'm a new believer within the last 3 years. So, just from what I've learned myself, I was under that impression that we there's certain spiritual gifts that we still possess.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and let me say that, first of all, that probably what is in view here is supernatural gifts, and what is typically communicated in this regard is the gift of tongues. And many people believe that the gift of tongues is the evidence of a second blessing or the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are other people like myself who would say, I don't think that we can say on the basis of Scripture that it is the evidence, but we can say it's a evidence, meaning that I don't think that there's any case that you can make legitimately on the basis of Scripture that the supernatural gifts ceased with the closing of the canon of Scripture or the end of the apostolic age. I think you can make the case that those supernatural gifts are not normative, but to say that they ceased is typically based on taking passages or a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and using them in an untoward context. What we do know from Scripture, and this particularly from Romans chapter 12, that we all have gifts. So Paul says there, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. So these are gifts that God has given us, and that's why each member in the body of Christ is necessary, because each of us has a unique gift that together makes a whole. And that's why Paul says that we are those that can be said of that each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others, and therefore all the gifts are necessary. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. You can find that on the web at equip.org. Nice talking to you, Adam, coming to the station break. At the end of the break, I'll be right back here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the quote of the day. The quote of the day by Nabil Qureshi. It is an absolutely important quote for you to hear, and we'll have more answers as well. 888-ASK-HANK.
While legions of the theologically clueless and politically correct fall over themselves in their rush to paint a warmer and kinder picture of Islam, you might well be wondering, what's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff clearly answers the question in his new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive the book, Muslim, as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recent scholarly research has been significantly more open toward Jesus' healing the sick, his empty tomb, and even his post-resurrection appearances. So why have these same critics not fallen to their knees and proclaimed, "My Lord and my God"? Other topics include the Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, Jean-Paul Sartre and the resurgence of existentialism, defending the biblical view of human sexuality using an effective Socratic question approach, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. The current narrative is that to tell the truth in this regard is tantamount to radicalizing Muslims and exacerbating hostilities that may otherwise lie dormant. A common refrain has reverberated throughout the West: Islam is not our enemy. As well-intentioned as this mantra may be, the danger in this stance becomes clear once someone understands Islam in full. Read the new book by Hank Hanegraaff, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Well, let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's return with the quote of the day. It's by Nabil Qureshi. It's from his book, Answering Jihad. Nabil, of course, is a very unique individual. He holds a degree in medicine. He's an MD. But he gave his life to Christian apologetics, and that on a broad base. So he's become a formidable apologist for the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he was raised a Muslim. And now he's written some fantastic books, one of them available this month. You can find it on the web at equip.org. For those who support the ministry, Answering Jihad, A Better Way Forward. He's also authored Seeking a Law, Finding Jesus, and No God But One. But in his book, Answering Jihad, we have the quote of the day. Writes Nabil, since violence is built into the very origins of Islam, the religion would need to be re-envisioned in order to produce a peaceful religion that is internally consistent. Emphasis would have to be drawn away from the Quran and away from Muhammad's life, or the records of their context would need to be disavowed. This would not be a reformation, but a progression of Islam. Now, that raises the question. A lot of people talk about reformation, reforming Islam. Well, reforming Islam means you're going to go to the teachings of ISIL or ISIS, because they are carrying out Islam as it was intended. Or it means that you're going to embrace Wahhabism, the primary strain of Sunni Islam that you find in Saudi Arabia with our very best friends and allies. Now, we love to demonize Iran, but we don't say a whole lot about Saudi Arabia. Why? Because drug addicts never tell on their pushers. And I think you understand the metaphor. The metaphor is that Saudi Arabia has oil, and we're addicted to their oil. And so we speak differently about a country that is exporting terrorism to the West. The oil barons of Saudi Arabia willing to do for a lie what many Christians are not willing to do for the truth. They're exporting Wahhabism to madrasas and mosques all over the world. Not only exporting Wahhabism, but building the madrasas and the mosques. We must ever be mindful that when we talk about Islam, we're talking about a socio-economic political system riding on the rails of Sharia that intends world domination. This is not conjecture. This is written into the very DNA of Islam. You're either in Dar al-Islam, the House of Islam, or you are in Dar al-Harb, the House of War. And so Muslim ideology always progresses either by subjugation. So if you live in Iran as a Christian, or you live in Saudi Arabia or Pakistan or Afghanistan or Somalia, you can have a relative, and I mean relative, secure situation, but only if you are willing to suffer dimnitude, to be a dhimmi, not a dummy, but a dhimmi, meaning that you are now willing to pay what's called the jizya, the poll tax, and feel yourself subdued. In other words, you are now a second-class citizen. You're under an iron boot. You can only do certain things, and certain things you're not allowed to do. Don't pull out a Bible in public or preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's the unforgivable sin of shirk. By all means, don't convert to Christianity because what happens when you do that is you face the tyrant's brandished steel. So your choices are subjugation, dimnitude, the sword, or you can say the Shahada. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. But Islam is not only advancing through subjugation, sword, and shahada, it's also advancing through squattering. And people need to get a hold of that because that is the python swallowing its prey with a long and slow digestion. The EU countries are today suffering their own consequence of ignorance. A country that becomes Islamic demographically will also become Islamic politically. It's just a matter of critical mass. And that critical mass doesn't anymore take a lot of patience. Muammar Gaddafi, I mean, I think about him. He was one of the most evil men on the planet, quite frankly. He was sinister, but he wasn't stupid. And Gaddafi said, why in the world would anyone want to fly airplanes into buildings when in a very short period of time, those buildings will be ours? He was talking about demographics. And he knew full well what the West was up to. Self-aborting. Meaning that because of the culture of euthanasia and abortion, because of same-sex sexuality, gender fluidity, transgenderism, Western cultures would face a demographic problem. That demographic problem becoming ever more acute. The death rate far exceeding the birth rate. And filling the vacuum are millions and millions of Muslims who have no intent whatsoever of assimilating into Western culture. That's called squattering. And that is happening as we speak. It's not only happening in the EU countries, but it's happening beyond the EU countries. And one must recognize another salient point. If you don't know Islam, you make strategic errors like we did in Iraq. We thought, why not establish democracy in Iraq? Failing to recognize that in Islam, Sharia is state and state is Sharia. So by not understanding Islam and its major tenets, and by the way, a vast majority of the 1.6 billion, maybe 1.7 billion at this point, Muslims want Sharia. They want to live by Sharia. But there's no separation of church and state. Well, we can see what the aftermath of our ignorance was in Iraq today. The doors of churches swinging open. Reformation, as Nabil Qureshi talked about, really means going back to the roots of Islam. in some sort of weird way, that's what radical Islam might be in a denotative sense. We think about radical Islam in a different sense than the denotative sense. We think about it in the connotative sense. Radical Islam, going back to the roots of Islam, means going back to the teachings of Muhammad. And we don't need to wonder what will happen when we do that. We have history to tell us that. Talk about the three major tribes of Medina. When Muhammad went to Medina, he did not assimilate. He took over. Or think about what's often called the Andalusian paradise, Spain, from, let's say, 711 to 1492. You have a sense of what it would be like to live under Islam. Now, it's been glorified in the media, Andalusian paradise. But quite frankly, it is a myth. So if you want to know what it's like to live under Sharia, history gives us the lesson. I write about all that and more in Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. It is now available only through the Christian Research Institute. October 10th, you'll be able to find it in bookstores everywhere. Amazon, of course. You get your copy for your gift at equip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. My thanks to all of those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Without you, we couldn't do what we do 24/7 around the globe. Thanks for standing with me. What you're doing is making a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. Be right back here tomorrow with more answers to your questions.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Coen brothers are among the most critically acclaimed film directors of our time, yet the meaning behind their movies is often veiled in mystery. This offers a clue about the Coens' worldview. The difficulty is part of the design. Other topics include changing attitudes toward the resurrection of Jesus. Is a pro-life hermeneutic possible? How to revive a dead church? The Jewish Talmud and its use for Christian apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.